let's have a school of prayer today. I just want to look at something in the school of prayer. I want to explain a principle. Actually, I'm writing up something on it, and it just stayed on my mind. I said, okay, let's just share it and use it to pray. And I want to, on the basis of that principle, all right, lead us in some a round of prayer for the body of Christ today, and that's all, right? We pray for the body of Christ. And the Lord is good. I just want to explain a particular principle to us again, all right? Let's open our Bibles to the book of John chapter 14. I want to read verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And it says, no one comes to the Father but through me. Please notice that. Just want, I want to bring out there. And in the book of John chapter 1, there was something he said there. John chapter 1, the Bible says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend or overcome it. That's in verse 5. It now says in verse 9 that there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Now, please bear all these things I'm saying, all right, in mind, or we are reading in mind. And then in a moment, I am going to say, you see the reason why I'm reading it. There's another one I want us to read, which is, let me just refer to it. Jesus said something at a time in Matthew chapter 5. He said, you are the salt of the earth, and then you are the light of the world. All right, he now says, let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Please bear that in mind. And then last of all, I want to read one more. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Where I want is verse 16, but again, let's just start from the beginning of that paragraph. It said, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. That's what I want. When you talk about the church of the living God, the body of Christ, being the pillar and support of the truth. Now, I've read a number of scriptures, all right? I'm trying to bring out something, all right? None of these things. You see, I've just read many. You see what I want to bring out from it. He said that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That's concerning Jesus Christ. It was spoken. He now said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I read all of those things. I'm trying to bring out a principle, all right? And you see where I'm leading to. And I want to give this to you, not just as a way of understanding today alone, but as a prayer point which you should pray all the time. Please, it's very important. It's very, very important. It is very, very important what I want to explain again to us today. Let me say this again to us, talking about prayer. Prayer is very important. The reason is because many things God would like to do, he cannot do. The word is cannot. What did I say? Cannot do until people pray about them. Do you understand? What he does is to lay the burden in the hearts of people. The way God has done it, please understand this. This is the way he has done it. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth, he has given. You understand? He gave it. He gave it. He gave it. Do you follow my point? If I bought, a computer and I gave to my son, you know, I was the one that the Lord blessed with the money. And then I went and bought the computer. But then I now gave it to that boy. When next I want to use it, I must ask his permission. I cannot say that because I gave it to him and he's living in my house, I am the one paying the rent, I am the one who built the house, I am the one feeding him, buying his clothes, and I say because of that, anytime I want that computer, I just take it. It doesn't work like that. Are you getting my point? Once I give it to him, I must have his permission to use it. Otherwise, it will be trespassing. All right? I will just be bullying him if I don't ask his permission. It may be a little boy, maybe your son is a teenager. You can't just walk into his room, take his computer. You are going to make him feel bad, even though he can't harass you about it. But the truth is that God doesn't break laws the way we do. But at least that helps us to understand that it is not right to have done like that. So if God says, I give the earth to the sons of men, What that simply means is that before he does anything on the earth. Did you hear that? Did you get it? That simply means that before he does anything on the earth, he must talk to the sons of men. Therefore, he says, surely the Lord God does nothing except he first reveals these things to his servants, the prophets. Why the prophets? Why didn't he say just his servants, good people? Why didn't he say just his servants, righteous men and women? Why did he say his servants, the prophets? Because the prophets must prophesy. The prophets must, by their words, all right, allow. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is when your will aligns with the desire and the plan of God. Prayer is not just your desire, all right? Prayer is not supposed to be. So John says that, 1 John chapter 5, all right? He said, if we ask anything according to his will, that's what it means. He hears us. That's what prayer is, all right? Why do we have to ask? It is because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So that's why I said like this. Pray like this. Thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. That is, God has a will, is recorded in heaven. For it to be done on earth, human beings, you and me, must open our mouths and say, will of God be done here. That gives him the legitimate right, all right, to come and do something. So if I give that stuff, maybe I'm a very rich man, all right, and I take a whole house and I give to my son. I say, this house is now your own. If he has a problem inside the house, all right, I won't just say, hey, I heard there's a problem. Let's go and start solving it. No, 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 no. What he will do is to call and say, since you can solve this problem, come and solve the problem. If the roof of this building is leaking now, and then there is a carpenter, a specialist in high-rise roofs, right, like this, in front of it, and he comes for Bible study every day, and he feels when it's raining, he drops on his head also. He won't say, yes, because I'm a prayer. He'll just climb and start knocking something. No, he will walk up and say, Israel, can we fix this? He has to ask permission. Are you getting my point? It is when we now say, go ahead and fix it. The need is obvious. His ability is obvious. But prayer is when you say, please fix it. And that's why, you know, that's why the Bible says that God knows you need these things before you ask. Are you getting my point? And that's why I say, before you ask. So the asking is small, you know, you just, if the fellow is willing, let's talk this house matter again. We have a leaking roof, we have a problem, and we have a man of ability around. And a man that not only of ability, but of extreme willingness. But he can't do anything until we say, do it. But the moment we say, do it. You understand my point? Instantly, he sets about doing it. That's what prayer is. That's what prayer is. You know, there's a mistake Christians make. That's a Christian. Yeah, human beings generally. Now, let me just explain that again to us. I always like to clarify these things for people. They look at this like this. Now, please, before I lose track of what I'm saying, this is not my message yet. I'm trying to explain the importance of prayer, how we will connect it to something. That's what I'm trying to do. First, before we go back to where we began from, why we read those things, all right? Please just bear it in mind. Now, this is a mistake Christians make a lot of times, and I don't want you to make that mistake. They just assume that because they are doing the work of God, everything will just be all right. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Yes. Listen, it doesn't always work like that. You have to, if it is necessary for you to pray about something. I know it's very funny. Let me tell you something. God sent you on an assignment. You know, okay, this assignment you are going on, pray that will help you. Like, which kind of joke is that, man? It's your idea. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The human mind is that if it's your idea, why should I now be asking you to do anything about it? No, it really doesn't work like that. The reason that when God commissions the assignment into your hand, the whole assignment is your own. I don't know whether I get my point. Everything you will get from him has to be because you asked for it. Even though it's his assignment. If I tell my sons, okay, take my car, go down to Nichanga and bring some stuff that your mother left there. That's the assignment. If he enters into the car, starts the car, I found that there's no fuel. He has to return and say, how far? Fuel money. Are you getting my point? The whole assignment is his own. I'm going to explain the issue of prayer. Now, prayer is not always the way we... It's not agonizing. That's where the mistake is. As if you want to plead with God, please now, how far, do something. That's not what it is. All right? It is just giving him the right. So that it can be as trivial as you wake up in the morning and say, today is blessed. No evil will befall me. Are you getting my point? Can be as simple as that. All right? I call all my needs met today. Lord, release your power. You know, just a trivial statement. But it has to be made. Please, you are getting what I'm going to explain? That's just the way it works. That statement must be made. So Christians often make the mistake. They think that, okay, because I'm doing something for God, though, you understand? Everything will be... No. It's God's ministry, I know. But you will sit kneel down and say, in the name of Jesus, let every need come. Every need be met. Let supply come. I speak to supply. Come in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not begging. It's not like, you know, this is how some people say to do. You now wake up every morning and say, how much is the money? We need 2.5 million. Every day, you now pin 2.5 on the wall. I'm saying, 2.5. I talk to... No. That's carrying it too far. Are you getting my point? Yes. That's carrying it too far. Yes, that's what I look at. That's why we'll not start using spiritualism, all right, and adding it to it, okay? We're not worshiping 2.5. We're not worshiping methods. We are just simply praying. That's why we can afford to say a prayer once and leave it there. Because once we have offered it and our faith is still in that prayer, it has given God the right to release. Please, what I'm saying, I hope it's clear. You are following it, all right? So you are running a ministry. Yes, it's for God. Your life, it's for God. You're an assignment from God. You still have to open your mouth and make certain petitions. Not as if you are begging him. It is because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. But this work he has given to you, O child of God. It is now your own. I hope that is clear. Christians must understand it too. As people now think that, okay, because I'm working for God, I'm doing things for God, everything will just flow. I understand what you mean, but you must understand that your responsibility is still to ensure that the things flow. It's not by your own strength. That's why people make the mistake. They now think that, I've heard somebody counsel me before, now God has sent us, doesn't mean we won't use our wisdom. No, we don't use our wisdom. We use divinely granted wisdom. Are you getting my point? And the foundation of that is prayer. That is why, so, maybe in ministry now, I have ideas. I just, it's simple. I wake up maybe one night, just sit up on the bed. Lord, how do we move this thing forward? Okay, these are the ideas we have. Open doors in the name of Jesus. Send help in the name of Jesus. You understand? Just statements. It's not as if God will say, by force, see help, see it by force. No. That is why Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. But the laborers are few. So what did he say next? So he said you now have to beseech the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his own harvest. Which kind of harvest is it? Whose harvest is it? They will not have to talk to him to send laborers into his harvest. Where was he? Can't you see that the laborers are few? Actually, he can. And in fact, he has prepared laborers. What he's saying is just say, Lord, send. That's why the prayer is not hard. It's not, brethren, tonight, we are going to shake the doors of heaven until he begins to send laborers. Begin to be laborer, laborer. No, it's as simple as, oh, Father, we give you thanks because the harvest is plentiful. It's ready. But laborers are really few. So we are asking you, send laborers into this harvest field. Send help. Send resources. We need plenty of money. Send us plenty of money. We need plenty of wisdom concerning what to do. Send us plenty of wisdom in the name of Jesus. Literally, 5 minutes, we are done. Prayer is just as simple as understanding what the will of God is and saying to God, do your will in my life. As I said, thy will be done. That's how it is. Will of God be done. Very important, all right? I just want to emphasize that again. So, you have children, all right? Prophesy over them. Pray for them. You know, you can only pray to God concerning what he wants to do. You can never ask God for what he does not want to give, and you will get it. It's not possible. If you get it, it will not be a blessing to you. That's why all this one of people always trying to pray without studying. understanding God. It doesn't work. The foundation of effective prayer is effective learning. Learning is a foundation of praying. If you're not a learner, you are going to be praying wrongly. Guard your steps when you draw near the temple. Draw near to listen. Anything else is a sacrifice of a fool. Are you getting my point? You can never ask him for something he was not planning to give, and that thing will be a blessing. Never. Never. It is possible. You know, I don't want to go into that now. That's why I'm testimonies there. I judge testimonies according to the word of God. That's it. That's why, you know, sometimes when you say things, that the one I wrote here, who's going to hell? And people are saying that, God really spoke to those women. He said, it's because I didn't watch the video. I said, I don't want to watch it. Why are they going to tell me I don't know? That the soul that sinneth shall die? I know that one already. Don't you know it? I mean, Abraham said to the rich man, he said, send Lazarus to my brother. Say anything Moses has not said. Lazarus can't say it. If they do not believe Lazarus and the prophets, they won't believe any man that claims he went to hellfire and came out. But I said, look, all those people that said they went to hellfire and came out, anything you say that's not in line with the word of God is confused vision. You are lying. Say, maybe they saw real vision, but by the time they woke up, they added their own to it. You know, human beings do it.
Yes.
They do. They use the opportunity of demon possession to say what they wanted to say before. You say, well, it was the demon that possessed me. People just talk that kind of thing. You know, people do that kind of thing, all right? What I'm trying to say is that why people say that is that they don't have understanding. You tell me that you died and went to heaven, and when you got to heaven, you saw only men. Say, why? Say, because the women were busy plaiting their hair. These men do more wicked things. I hope you know. So if you tell me when you got to heaven, you didn't see women because they plaited their hair. I know you are lying. I don't need to watch your video. If that's what is reported that you say, you are telling lies. You didn't see any vision. They lied to you. When you smoke Indian hemp, you see things. Sometimes when you fast too much, you start hallucinating. Anybody know the principle of hypoglycemia? Yes? All the bad things inside your mind will just congeal and form spirits. And I told you before, some people that say they're pushing them at night is all their iniquity. They know they have offended everybody in the neighborhood. So fear will start pushing them at night. And that's a spirit. I don't believe that simply because I've read the scriptures and I know God looks at the heart, does not look at the hairstyle. Is that not your Bible? It may not have been like that, but you know what I'm trying to say. So when you get down to heaven, you had better tell me what God sees in the heart that makes him send people to heaven or to hellfire. I'm saying all of this to let you know that understanding is the foundation for all our spiritual work, even when it comes to prayer. You cannot ask God for that which he's not planning to give. If you ask him and you harass him enough and you get out of him, it will not be a blessing to you. There was a time he said to the children of Israel, what you need now is manna. I feed you with manna in the wilderness. They said, no, want to eat meat. The Bible says that he gave them meat according to their lust, but that one brought leanness into their souls. There is nothing that you get out of God by force that was not planning to give you that would be a blessing to you. Nothing. So when we're talking about prayer, we are just saying, God, that which you wanted to do, do it. So when we say will of God be done, there are things that we have learned, they are written, they are recorded. That's it. It just is like that. That's why sometimes I tell people that, listen, don't get into too many. People say that you have to be extremely specific when you are talking with God. You know, I don't agree with that. You know now. And it's not as if that's the only thing I don't agree with the popular teaching on. You know, many things. Now, why I disagree simply is this. What you are sure God wants for you can be certain of is what he said. For example, he promised you that you will never lack anything good. All right? You can't get too specific on the height and color and dent and mileage and all of that of the car. Do you get my point? Yes. Because sometimes you ask for things, you don't realize they are not going to be a blessing to you. Maybe you think, maybe all your life you've been driving Toyota Corolla. Then you started believing God for a Toyota Land Cruiser, thinking it's the same amount of fuel the two of them consume. You understand my point? You know, God can see your heart. He thinks that this young boy, this young lady thinks that these two cars are the same thing in maintenance cost. He has not prayed to me for more money. Yet, this little money he has, he wants you to fuel this 8-cylinder engine. So you just have somebody one day, go and send him help from above. So one day you'll be to where people are gisting. One man said, I just came back. How many? Oh, I spent 50 liters. No, 50 liters? 50 liters? No, my car only uses 20 for that distance. He said, are you serious? Wow, the man will think you know what you are saying, not knowing you are so confused. You understand my point? He said, how did you tune your engine? He said, it's a very good Corolla. My finger, we were talking about Corolla here. I'm telling you, I drove a Land Cruiser. That's why they don't know you that your prayer point needs to be revised. So I go back and say, Lord, the car is very nice, but I think I can wait. You are getting my principle. So when we pray, it's best to pray with the word of God. If you have something that's really, it's specific enough, all right, you can present that, okay? That's why I say when you say that, I want a husband that is this, like this, like this, complexion like this, height like this, weight like this. You marry the guy slim like this, he go fat like this. So what happened to your prayer point? It has been altered. You see what I'm saying? About these funny specifics. So what do you do? Let's take the woman's side, because we have very good scripture for that. A woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. He said, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. Why do people now pray about charm and beauty? When the Bible says it is deceitful and it is vain. I heard one story once. A man sat down and prayed, my wife and I are still referring to it this morning. Prayed for the kind of wife he wanted specifically. And do you know when the woman manifested? She was totally accurate. I don't know what I heard, the meaning of the word accurate. If he said he wanted 5 foot, 6.25 inches, she was precisely 5 foot, 6.250. You know, that is God said, nothing above, nothing beneath. Except that it was Jezebel that did not finish dying with Ahab, that borrowed modern day flesh and showed up. You know what a good man should have prayed about? He simply said, Lord, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you for a woman who fears you. Simple. I will give him a help that is fitted, suited for him. So, Lord, give me a wife that is my perfect help. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Say, Lord, you know in my place, they like the women to have long hair. You can't buy it. they say hair for market, though. Yes. I told you that if you meet a woman for the first time, don't check her height from here. Check it from there. You understand my point? Yes. So leave all those things. You understand? Let us learn to do what the Bible calls approving the things that are excellent. Approve those things that are what? Excellent. So when a man wants to pray, listen, you focus your attention. God says, I give Adam a wife that is, I knew he needed a help that is suited for him. So, Lord, I need a help that is suited for me. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So limit your prayer, please, to those few things. That way your faith never wavers. That's my understanding. The time of which you say, draw a woman on the wall. I used to hear it too, maybe I preach it small. I repented of foolishness long ago. Pastor Bank, I used to say it's foolishness. Yes. If you can draw a good heart on the wall, please. You shall be the official photographer or official artist. Yes. Draw the good heart on the wall. Maybe you draw a woman with two hands raised and eyes closed, tears streaming down, eyes worshiping the Lord. Even that one safe is dangerous. I've been going to church for a long time. Trust me, I've been going to church for a long time. Some people who roll on the floor when they are worshiping the Lord. As they are rolling on the floor, their heart is standing like this. Say, so when you finish rolling, let's get back to where we normally roll, man. So what I'm trying to say is that forget, there are things you can't draw on the wall. You understand my point? So leave them alone. Pray about things that are, you follow my point, that are excellent. Thank you. Pray about things that are excellent. I'm talking about prayer. That's what it is. What is that which God wants to do? Then every other thing can now be added. Things that are added by God. Are you getting my point? I want to say they are added. He asks them the way he wants to add them, when he wants to add them, at the measure with which he wants to add them. You know, some people ask me, when is your program on Omega Channel? I said 7 a.m. That's Nigerian time. Every Saturday on Omega Channel. I said, but I saw you the other day during the week. I said that one was added. Because Omega has a rule. Once you pay for prime time, they give you the equivalent time free of charge at their own discretion. That's what I'm talking about, added. So I tell people that I cannot tell you when they will air it. They may for the first, maybe the first, maybe the next 4 weeks now start airing us maybe 9 a.m. on Tuesdays. Then before you start announcing that we are there at 9 a.m., they don't move you to 11 p.m. on Saturdays or on Fridays. You can't tell. It's added. But the one you pay for, they'll give you that one. That is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all those other free broadcasts are added. You get what I'm going to explain?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that is the way it works. That is the way it works. So let's pay for our prime time with God. What's our prime time with God? The things that are what? Excellent. You want to pray for a good husband? Know what to pray for. Don't be praying for a very tall, maybe, want to have a Hummer that goes out of fashion the day after your wedding. Yeah, I guess I'm going to explain. Those are things that will be added. And I feel like just telling you, you will drive a Hummer, you'll be tired. Say amen now. It doesn't have to be Hummer itself. It can be anything. You understand what I'm trying to say? No, I'm not condemning you to drive a Hummer. I mean, like, I just say, it's figurative in that sense. Things that people are striving for, you will have them, you will be tired of them. And that's the point we're making. That's why it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And every other thing shall be added unto you. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Now, I just did all of this to explain the importance of prayer again. We've done it again and again. But we're just going to do it one more time. And how it works. All right? And prayer is the center. You know, we've been talking on Saturdays about the fulfillment of God's promises. I preached a message some time ago, which I called Poor Jonah, Activating Prophecy by Prayer. All right? The promises of God, you also activate them by prayer. If you feel like you're not experiencing according to that which is promised, sometimes it's a matter of prayer. And it's not about grumbling. That's another point I should probably quickly drop. You don't go to God and be grumbling. Eh? Where are you? Where are you? What's going on? Where are you there? No. It's like I said, life is warfare. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
It's what? Warfare. It's a battle of what?
Words.
So what life has been trying to do to you is to make you doubt. That's all it is. It's trying to create a spiritual atmosphere inside you that rejects blessings. Maybe I will use that to get back to the main thing I wanted to say, all right? It's trying to create a spiritual atmosphere inside you that rejects blessings. That's what life tries to do. And so you have to revert forcefully. That's where you actually fight. The fight is to ensure that your heart does not deviate. Because if your heart is like this, the Bible says you cannot receive. Not as if God cannot give, but you cannot receive it. If God is trying to give you something, he can't give you because today you are here, tomorrow you are there. Alright? So what you do is that when life starts trying to explain, no, you just take the word of God. Remember, that's what prayer is. We take that word and simply start saying, this is the word of God, I believe it, I receive it in the name of Jesus, and I say, will of God be done. Will of God be done. He said, I will be blessed so much that I will be a blessing. But my business is not growing so well that I'll have enough money to take care of myself, take care of other people, and be able to employ people. Something's kind of out of order according to that blessing word. Are you getting my point? So I just settle down there and start declaring in the name of Jesus, the word of God to me is that I will be so blessed, I will be a blessing because I'm a descendant of Abraham by my faith in Christ Jesus. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Every hindrance I reject. You know, you're speaking the word of God into existence. And then God begins to reveal to you why it's being blocked. That's one major thing that God does for us. He opens our eyes. We understand why things are not flowing. Because I say all the time, no matter how God loves you, he never blesses disobedience. Never. Let me say it to you again. If you like, you know, I will get back to this message, Sha. Let's just try and continue talking now. All right? Let me just continue talking. No matter how much God loves you, he will never, ever bless disobedience. Never. Never. Let me say it again. No matter the amount of messages you listen to, he will not bless disobedience. Pray, pray, pray. Invoke, you know, cast out every demon. Cast out demons until demons don't exist on this earth again. God will not bless disobedience. So, what does he do? When we start lifting up the word of God again in our lives over every situation, if there is a reason why things are not flowing the way they are supposed to do, one major thing that the word of God brings to you is correction. And until people accept to be corrected, they can never experience blessing. Listen. Listen to yourself. Just pay attention to me for a moment and look inwards. Ask yourself, can I be corrected? Listen. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. You know that? Yes, sir. So the fact that you think you are right means you are one of the many people. Don't think you are unique. You know, I just know I'm always right. No. So what you do all the time, you pray like Eli who taught us to pray. That which I see not, teach thou me. It's very important. The reason is because, you know, I've thought about, this is not just something I'm saying just now. I've thought about it again and again and again and again. I've seen people, the Bible says, he that is often reproved and hardens his heart, that the same person will be destroyed without remedy. I've seen people that, you know, maybe the man is having issues, either business or ministry, all of that. You ask yourself, what is going on? Then you suddenly, in my mind, I connect back to the time that people said, look, what this man is doing is not right. Let us correct him. And he got angry at the correction. Even if the people correcting you are wrong, listen to it. Don't get angry. Are you getting my point? Listen to it and don't get angry. And this is what you do with words of correction. You know, I thought about that over the last few days for certain reasons. This is what you do with words of correction because, oh God, I believe I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. We'll get back to our message in a moment, all right? This is what you do with words of correction. You use them to pray. Otherwise, every man will be running your life. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you know, like I say to people all the time, you listen to advice. You don't always take it. But you must be one that listens. Because half of the advice I've heard in my life, in fact, most of them, like in ministry, they are wrong. They are totally in disagreement with what I understand from the word of God. But I will listen. There's a man who walked in here one day, told me he's a prophet of God. He doesn't just go everywhere anyhow. I was standing here. We're doing something here. He came, wanted to see me. Yeah, that's it. He called me to the side there, having a very spiritual look in his face, that he's a prophet of God. All you people that go around preaching and teaching, they are the common church workers. Those of us that prophesy. I said, okay, so what is it? He told me what the Lord said he should tell me. I thanked him. I wasn't angry. I even had to rebuke myself. Don't laugh, you know, like in my mind. I had to tell myself, don't laugh at this guy. And I actually took what he said to heart and I went and prayed with it. It didn't make sense to me, but I said, let's just pray about this matter. You never can tell. And there was one man, I read his book. He said one day, a man came to the front of his church and was shouting, that God is about to bring judgment upon them. Then church members come call and pastor, we have a problem. He came out. So they thought he would call the police. To their shock, he took the man into his office. They wanted to collapse. He said, we collapse in there. This is how correction comes. You just drive it away. So let me hear what the man has to say. So he took the man to the office, sit down. He said, you're a man of God? Yes, sit down. What is it? He said, God said they are not taking care of the poor. He said, is that all? No problem. He quickly got the interpretation. Bros is hungry. So all this one of God said, God did not say. Instantly, he got the point. He settled the guy. Are we taking care of the poor now? You know that kind of thing. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So what do you do with advice, with correction? You always hear it, and then you take it to pray. You use it as a prayer point. It's very important. In fact, one sister was talking to me some time ago. She said, one woman prophesied to her that she had subtle pride. And she said to herself, she was telling me, that that no matter how anointed you are, that is the one thing you got wrong. She said to herself. But this is the funny part. Once you say that, you have pride. Yes. A humble man never says, I'm not proud. The moment you say it, it's a sign of pride. One day a woman talked to me and said, I know I was well brought up. I said, madam, let's hear it. It's your husband that should be telling us. I told her. The woman had had it up to here with her. You know, she used to harass my life. So one day was answering and said, I said, madam, listen, forget that side. Your husband should be the one telling us how well brought up you were, not from your mouth. That's why she didn't like me. You know, one of those three reasons. You're telling me you were well brought up. Have you ever seen anybody tell you, I was badly brought up? I will go wound you just now. Oh, nonsense. The Lord is good. God will say, let another praise you, not your own lips. You understand? Anything that you don't have references for, stop uttering it. Now, a very quiet person. You are the one that thinks so. Because you can't hear the sound of your own voice, so you think you are quiet. Let other people be the one to utter it. All right, that's what the Bible says. Let another praise you, not your own lips. Now, so the lady said that later she was discussing with me, said, I didn't even realize it. And people are proud of different things. Some people are proud of that, the fact that they pray a lot. Still pride. People are very proud of the fact that they know the scriptures. It's still pride.